You're listening to Pod for Ham, a podcast from The Incomparable that's all about the musical Hamilton, taking it one track at a time through the original Broadway cast recording. Every episode features different groups of interesting people talking about a single track. Visit us on the web at pod4ham.com or follow us on Twitter at pod4ham.
One last time. Relax, have a drink with me. One last time. Let's take a break tonight and then we'll teach them how to say goodbye. To say goodbye, you and I.
Welcome back to Pod for Ham. We are talking one last time. No, this is not the end of the podcast. We've got a whole rest of the act to get through. But we are talking about the song One Last Time. I'm Chip Sutterth.
I'm Travis Bedard.
I'm Rachel Donner.
And I'm David J. Lohr.
At a time in our nation's history, when politics is awful, all politics is painful, we are all in despair, along comes the tale of somebody who decides to quit his job. You know, one of the things that I adore about this musical is that it's not, how do you pronounce it? Hagiography? Hagiography?
Yes, hagiography.
Hagiography, at least about its main character. Hamilton is presented warts and all, but if there is hero worship in this musical, it's certainly been directed throughout at one George Washington. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say, and he earned it. I feel good about it.
Except for the owning slaves part, but sure.
Well, there is that, and they did try to do something with that. There was going to be a cabinet battle that was going to lampshade the problem more so than it happens in the musical itself. But as we're getting into this, and this is sort of the nobility of Washington writ large in this song, I did want to take a moment to just sort of talk about the character before he delivers his own elegy, as it were. George Washington, the character as written by Lin-Manuel Miranda and performed by Chris Jackson, what role do you see him having in this musical, and how important is he to the success of it?
He's everything. He's the father figure to Hamilton that he needed in order to have goals and have a place to go that he's trying to get to. And he sees Washington as that ultimate leader that he can follow.
Further, he stands in contrast to both Burr and Hamilton's sort of petulance as an actual adult, as someone who is doing the things they say they want to do. And as this act builds on, this ends up being sort of the last moment of Hamilton moving towards maturation politically. He just falls off the face of the earth after this. And you see it in the opening of the song, in that sort of slap fighting at Jefferson. In the patter at the beginning of One Last Time, we see that petulance that Washington, especially Washington as embodied by Chris Jackson, just is so the antithesis of.
And he's having none of it, too.
Absolutely.
Like, listen to me. This is it. This is, I'm done. And, you can sort of see Hamilton's reaction to it as, you know, he's lost every parent, every family member, every, you know, through his life. He's never had the father figure, or he's never had the father. He's always been looking for that next figure who's going to be his mentor, his icon. And now here's the one who has sort of steered him to greatness. Here's the one who sort of kept him on an even keel. And he's saying, well, I'm quitting. I'm done. I need to leave. And if I don't leave, then we didn't learn anything.
So when throughout this, and historically, Hamilton and Washington had a complicated relationship, and as we said in previous episodes of this podcast, you know, daddy issues all the way down, culminating after the duel and the dressing down, call me son one more time. But there is still a level of hero worship in Lin-Manuel Miranda's Hamilton that just, he loses his breath. He says, "Say what?" When Washington says, "I'm stepping down, I'm not running for president." And I love this song for the sort of loss that Hamilton experiences, that this wagon that he hitched himself to, that he was using to make himself a more important member of the government, and he had created the financial system that had saved the Union, and he was going to accomplish all this wonderful stuff. And wait, you're just walking away? I get this feeling of, what am I going to do now? In this song, is he genuinely concerned that Washington can't leave or for the good of the country, or is he also worried about his meal ticket?
Both.
Oh,
for
both.
Sure.
Absolutely both.
Yeah.
He doesn't so much have a political party for cover. Washington is his cover, and he doesn't feel like he's ready yet to step up into those grown-up shoes, to step up either into the presidency or to other elected office, and he needs more time. And he's now out of time.
And in that moment, he is so taken aback. He is so shocked. He didn't see it coming at all. And Washington says, "I'm stepping down. I'm not running for president." And Hamilton says, "I'm sorry, what?" Without any, it's not musical. It's not, it's totally spoken.
Where's the vinyl record scratch?
Yeah, exactly. He's so jolted out of himself at that moment that he can't even stay within the reality of the show, right? Or the reality that the show has set up for him.
He just can't even.
Yeah.
I think the other thing too is that, you know, he's had, because of the cover of Washington and the protection politically, he's been able to kind of take risks and be himself in a way and kind of bulldoze his way through legislation and all this financial policy. And now he's realizing that he doesn't have anybody without Washington and that he's toast politically.
Yeah. But there is still admiration. There is still, you know, it is both. It's this, but it's also this great man is just walking away. And next song, you know, King George isn't the only one who's saying that I wasn't aware that this was something a person could do. Hamilton's stunned by this.
Hamilton can't even begin to conceive of the idea that someone could be this gracious in relinquishing power. He's been driving for power for so long and so voraciously that first he can't conceive of how to use power when he has it, and secondarily he can't begin to fathom how to walk away from it. And we see Washington explaining it to him. They'll say, "You're weak." No. They'll see, "I'm strong." To give up when you don't have anything isn't strength. You just gave up. To give up when you have this entire world in front of you is actual strength and actual grace. And Hamilton can't even begin.
And like he gets the idea that, you know, he has said already he wants something that will live beyond him, that will survive him. But he can't conceive of stepping away and doing it now, right? It'll outlive him when he's dead, not when he has stepped away.
So Washington is just so humble, so noble, so idealized. And I have to believe that part of that is because the character was not only written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, but developed by one Chris Jackson.
Oh, he's so beautiful when he sings this song. I mean, he's beautiful all the time, but this song especially, and, you know, when he just steps forward, and especially, I mean, we haven't quite gotten to the speech part of it yet, but it's just, he steps forward and his vocal takes over and it has such power and strength that you just believe it. You believe that the power of his voice can make this nation strong.
And I have to say that I really love the bravery in letting Chris Jackson sing the character's elegy. You know, there's in interviews, Miranda talked about wanting to have Washington's funeral as a moment where Burr and Hamilton came together in a moment of respect, but then instead getting to have Chris Jackson as Washington sing his own elegy is just gorgeous, and he's really the only person who could.
Well, and the other, you know, alternate version actually existed at the version in the public, One Last Ride, which combined the, you know, giving up of power with the Whiskey Rebellion. And I think it was such a brilliant move to lift the One Last Time elements out of that original song and give it its own moment, that it would have been watered down a little bit if it had been sort of as part and parcel with the story of the Whiskey Rebellion, which was kind of unnecessary to the story.
I agree. There's the reference in the Hamilton to how audiences always loved it when during the Whiskey Rebellion segment of One Last Ride, when Hamilton screamed to the rebels, you know, pay your effing taxes. But yeah, just
it wasn't worth that one line
exactly.
to ruin the moment, you know.
Yeah, it's funny. I was reading a history of bourbon when I first heard Hamilton. And so it was sort of like, oh, Whiskey Rebellion. And when I listened to the score and went, hey, they don't really mention that at all. And I think it was maybe, I don't know, 20 seconds where I thought, gee, it's a shame that, no, that was the right choice. That was, because it's not important in this.
Now, before we went on the air, Rachel mentioned that this is two songs in one, which is something that musically ignorant Chip just sort of drifted right past. So, Rachel, could you expand upon that a bit?
I mean, I don't know that you're musically ignorant, Chip.
Oh, yes, he is.
Wouldn't say that.
But, totally.
You know, in this case, I think it really is two songs. It's the first part with the announcement that he's going to step down, and Washington convincing Hamilton that it's going to be okay, and then saying, please write this speech and here's what it needs to contain. And then Hamilton says one last time and the music trails off. And then when the speech starts, it's another song. And because the style of it, even though it goes back to the one last time refrain later, it uses that whole other technique that, you know, in the Genius Notes, it talks about it being kind of lifted from Will.i.am and the Obama campaign song in 2008. And it just has a whole different, I think, feel to it. And it's also not Lynn's words. It's actually George Washington's words that carry that second half of the song. So that's where I see the break happening.
And barely edited George Washington's words at all. I think he drops three sentences from those last two paragraphs. He's just pretty much reading it verbatim from the closing two paragraphs.
Yeah. And to turn a speech like that, that's a farewell address, into something that musically is current, relevant, and fits within the context of the overall show. I mean, that's brilliant.
It really is.
And the way it's staged as well, Rachel and I have both seen the show. We will pause for a moment of smugness here. and the way it's staged, when Hamilton begins writing the address, or rewriting it. There was actually a draft written in history. There was actually a first draft by Madison that Hamilton was rewriting. He is standing in the center of the stage, and Washington is upstage. And slowly, as this passage continues, Washington walks downstage as Hamilton recedes and Lin-Manuel disappears as Chris Jackson comes forward and Chris's voice becomes more and more powerful. And this is the speechwriter taking the back seat because, you know, the star of the show is the guy. And it is a powerful moment where all eyes in the, you know, history has its eyes on you. The house,
meaning the nation,
meaning the nation. Yeah. And the audience at the Richard Rogers, there is nobody else on that stage. Everybody's on the stage, but there's nobody else on that stage.
Yeah. It's true that everybody else kind of melts away and Chris is in that spotlight downstage and just the entire room is locked on him and is willing to just follow him anywhere he says to go right at that moment. And if that means by carrying on without him, then by God, that's what we'll do.
Yeah. David and Travis, any other thoughts about the song, how it's structured, what's done lyrically or sonically here?
I think the one thing that really struck me is the show, Hamilton in general, is pretty free of religion. This song isn't terribly, because Washington wasn't terribly. And the vine and fig tree line is directly biblical. And the verse they cut before it, the vine and fig tree is from Micah 4:4. But Micah 4:3 from a lifetime soldier is where they talk about, I'm just going to read it. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And from a man whose entire career was war, to be talking in that tone, singing in that tone about the peace he's looking for that he's earned is just, it makes my heart the happiest. It's just fantastic. And further, when Washington says something as simple as, I want to talk about neutrality, he's shorthanding the entire rest of the farewell address.
Right.
Which is the most about neutrality I think I've ever seen a politician want to be. He doesn't really want political parties. He doesn't want war. It's the most isolationist thing I've ever read from a politician. Washington is so clearly tired of talking to other countries about other countries. And he's just like, no, seriously, I'm going home, and you should all probably think about going home too.
Well, and he was a proud Virginian too. So, and he just wanted to be there and, you know, take care of his estate and be with his family and just somebody else's turn to do the hard work.
Yeah. And he earned it.
Well, and if you think about the style of the song and the way it's performed, Lynn has talked about how Washington only raps when he gets frustrated, when he forgets himself for a minute. Mm-hmm. But in this song, he is belting a showstopper. It's the opposite. He is totally at peace. He is at rest. And this is how he wants to go out and talk about an exit.
Wow. Now, historically, he actually got pulled out of retirement. And that's the thing that surprised me the most when I look at when I read the Cherno book, that he became the sort of the figurehead of the Continental Army during the Adams administration. And Hamilton actually came back and was pretty much he was the major general of this army. He was basically the guy who ran it, but it wasn't super successful. And when Washington died, that was pretty much the end of that. I'm glad that we don't see any of that in this story. This is kind of the way that I would say that Washington probably would have preferred it all end with him on under his vine and fig tree. And it's nice that in this story, Washington actually gets that. I saw the show in March.
Oh, shut up.
And when I got, and I knew going in there that Lin-Manuel Miranda was going to be on vacation. And then I sat down and I looked at the white sheet of Xerox paper and I saw tonight Washington will be played by Sidney James Harcourt. So for this song, I got to see neither of the original cast, even though they were all on the books back then. Chris was on vacation and it was still it's still very powerful. It's not just Chris Jackson. But Rachel, I hate you because you got to see both of them both times, right?
Yeah. But I am a little bit jealous that you got to see Sidney do Washington. I got to see him do Aaron Burr the first time I saw it. He's an amazing talent who is unheralded. Sidney James Harcourt. Just keep an eye on him because I cannot say enough good things about that man.
Neither did I get to see Javier Munoz. I got John Rua, who was Hamilton that night. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting about that one, that performance was John Rua was into sort of wild takes that night. And there's a bit when Washington has poured Hamilton a drink and Hamilton finishes drink. John Rua just downs it like, I am not prepared to deal with this. It's almost comedic. I get the sense that Lin-Manuel was probably a little more understated, Rachel.
You know, I don't remember that specific moment, but I would say overall, yeah, I think it was just shock. I think he played it like shock because he turned on a dime from that sort of cavalier, no way could Jefferson win against you, you know, with this kind of bravado, and then it just kind of turned on the dime, and it was shock.
David and Travis, as people who haven't gotten to see it yet and who are experiencing Hamilton through the original cast recording, where does this song fit for you in terms of the listening experience? Is this ever a song that you go to on its own? Is it something that you stop or pause afterward? How does this one grab you?
This is a song I find myself singing in the car. When I don't even have it with me, it's one of those. Partly because it's just a beautiful thought, and partly because it's got a wonderful, just the one last time refrain and reprise. It hits my mental tickle spot.
I would say, David, that if I were your passenger and you were singing One Last Time while you were driving, I would be concerned.
I have to say that Chris Jackson as Washington is my spirit animal, so I sort of just loop through the Washington songs by themselves. So this ranks pretty highly in the show for me, partly just because while it's emotional, it's not sad. It's Washington's elegy, right, but it's a joyous goodbye, not a sad goodbye. And
it's,
the rest
it's
of
triumph.
This act – it is triumph, and the rest of this act is differently emotional.
This is sort of the point where things couldn't possibly get any better, and that's true. It's sort of after Washington leaves the stage, his example sort of ceases to have the effect that he would have liked.
Yeah,
it really does, and it feels like the last adult political moment. Everything feels petty and petulant after this. Everybody's sort of swiping at each other, and that's, I think you're right. It doesn't get any better than this.
This song is single-handedly getting me through this election season. I mean, I hear it and I just think about President Obama, and he's acting like it's going to be okay. He's doing what he has to do and finishing out his job, and he's drinking out of a coconut. And and I just hear the lyrics every time another cycle of despair comes through in the news that day from the election. And I think, you know what? It's going to be okay. This nation is going to be okay no matter what.
Yeah, this song and For Now from Avenue Q, those are the two that are getting me through the election.
Meanwhile, when I'm listening to it, I'm just sort of shaking my head and wondering, were we ever this noble, and could we ever be this noble again? So I sort of have the glass half empty reaction to it right now.
Way to bring down the room,
Chip.
I'm sorry. any final thoughts, though, about One Last Time and the remarkable Chris Jackson?
Well, I mean, again, this just comes from listening to the thing over and over again. In a score full of earworms and show-stopping songs, with a cast who every one of them does a brilliant job, he is a standout on the score. you have no trouble following the story just listening to it, because all of a sudden here's the adult and he takes command of the show, which is saying something if Burr is narrating it and you've got Lin-Manuel being electric. Just being able to wrest the show away from them, that's a feat.
And this song, and all of the Chris Jackson songs, but this song in particular feels like a break from striving. It feels like a break from that relentless pace that Burr talks about Hamilton having, to a person who is simply being the thing that they are. And in Chris Jackson's Washington, that is that mature politician who looms quite a bit larger than anyone else in his country. And it's a nice break while having a great, joyous moment.
And break is exactly the word. I mean, he calls back to take a break and says, Hamilton, come, let's take a break. Let's talk about this. And this time Hamilton does take the break.
Yeah, what's more important to him at this point, his work and his father figure or his family? He takes the break. But relax, have a drink with me. That's not the kind of line we'd ever get at any other point in this musical. And that's when you know that the status is about to be no longer quo. Rachel, any final thoughts about One Last Time?
I think that sums it up pretty nicely.
Well, when next Pod for Ham gathers, somebody else has been listening to this song, and he absolutely can't believe what's happening. Jesus Christ, that will be fun. Won't you come by next time for Pod for Ham? For now, this is Chip Sutterth with Travis Bedard, Rachel Donner, and David J. Lohr. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.